Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum to this edition of the Truthful Connection, coming to you live and exclusively from the studios of Markaz Sahaba Online, Sawtu Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the voice of the Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah in Durban, South Africa. Alhamdulillah, we have just completed with our segment on Palestine and the relationship of all the prophets with Palestine and the relationship with of present-day Muslims with all the prophets, and who has the most right to that land of Palestine. You know, were the followers of all the prophets and all the prophets Jews and Christians, or were they people who submitted and surrendered to the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla, which makes them Muslims? For now, inshallah, we will be crossing over to our brother Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam, and discussing the latest developments in South African politics. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brother Ahmad Manzoor.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. En route by road, of course, from Cape Town to Durban, just about to reach Mount Halem before I reach Coxa. But otherwise, mashallah, lovely day indeed in Jazakallah for having me on the air this morning.
Brother Ahmad, as we know that there are a lot of pros and cons to this GNU, Government of National Unity, a lot has been written about this, and one of the writers is the political correspondence of the star, that is Steph Tabalanche, and he has to say what has emerged is a promising governing alternative to what we had before. So far, pushing for stability and good governance, and praised around the world. The GNU has also resulted in bringing confidence to the markets and among investors, while support here at home seems to be substantial. Having the two biggest political parties in the GNU also provides numerical strength in parliament, well beyond the reach of any opposition formation, a prerequisite for political stability and continuity in both the executive and legislative sphere. It leaves much less room for frequent defections and new coalition formations, as we have seen at local government level. In his inauguration speech on Wednesday, Ramaphosa said the new government was keen on advancing the interest of all South Africans whilst creating employment and other opportunities. We want to create jobs. We are going to get everyone in the Government of National Unity to create jobs. I am going to make sure that it happens. Today we are opening a new chapter in the life of our country. We are going to have a Government of National Unity, where we are going to work together, united, so that we can advance your interest. Let us not be afraid of what this Government of National Unity is going to be all about, he said. Now, while Ramaphosa was preparing to deliver his acceptance speech on Wednesday, ACDP leader Kenneth Mashu predicted that the GNU would collapse before the end of the year. We are South Africans and love our people. They have suffered due to a lack of service delivery. I would be surprised if Ramaphosa is still in office by Christmas. His Fala Fala case is waiting for him in Parliament. The matter will be part of the agenda in Parliament, and he will have to account, Mashu said. What's your comment on this?
Well, yes, there's a whole lot there, but first of all, let me say, I think the biggest joke of it all appears to be the fact, and I remember making a statement in Parliament on a few occasions, that learners up to grade 8 cannot read for meaning. And right now, Helen Ziller is giving Pikile Mbalula a lesson where she says he doesn't understand the agreement that he's entered into, so he better go and read his agreement again. Again, he clearly indicates that at that high level in government, so-called, in this case, the Secretary General, can't read for meaning and understand exactly what agreement is entered into. That's the first thing. It's not surprising that the world markets and international community will be excited about what is happening in South Africa, because ultimately they've achieved the agenda of having power and control, that which they have in many other parts of the world, which they needed to extend to South Africa as well. And that is why they manipulated and rigged the elections to the extent that you will create no other alternative but for the ANC and the DA to go together. Now, while the ANC might brag, or many others might brag, the two largest parties will have the majority in terms of the government of national unity. What makes the ANC really believe, unless they're living in a fantasy world, that the DA can be trusted to that extent? You see what the ACDP leader is saying? Correctly so. The Freedom Front leader has said exactly the same thing. Many others have said the same thing. All it needs to do is to take one member from one party, irrespective of his size, bring a motion of no confidence based on the Palapala scandal and or on Paul Mashatile's scandal as well. And that's it. Then it means the president will be out, because on what basis will the Democratic Alliance, particularly or John Steenhuisen or Helen Zille, going to sit back there and defend President Ramaphosa on the Palapala scandal when they are the ones that he initially brought the motion? So really speaking, is it a majority that we think, or are we, you know, dreaming about them? So yes, I think there's a lot to come. I honestly don't believe it's going to sustain itself. And more importantly, I think, you know, if you look at the political parties that are into this government of national unity, starting with the ANC and the DA, I've said it before and I'm saying it again. This is chalk and cheese, oil and water. You can't mix them. The policies are completely different. And you can already see the DA talk about PDD, which the ANC is not going to accept. They're talking about dealing with the state-owned companies, which needs addressing, which the ANC is not going to. They're talking about the minimum wage. They're talking about land expropriation without compensation. So there's a whole the NHI. So there's, in fact, they agree on almost nothing. That's how difficult the situation is amongst them. And I want to say again, it does not mean that if you're in a government of national unity, no matter what agreement or document you sign, that if somebody brings a motion to remove somebody where there's serious allegations of corruption and things, that anybody in their right mind is going to defend it or protect the president in this case. And we all know from day one they want him out. So, you know, it's going to be interesting, first of all, to see whether he's going to put people in place, particularly ministers, whether they are fit for purpose, or is it just about appeasing each other? The other thing is of course, where is the credibility in the political parties that want to enter into this government of national unity that opposed these things before? And like I said before again, pre-election, nobody has ever, ever spoken about a government in national unity other than myself, which is 2-3 years ago, until, of course, the 7th of October came. But what is important is this: all of them were saying they will never work with each other. Particularly the ANC said they won't work with the DA, PAC said they won't UDF. But where is it coming from now? Is it about the selfishness, power, greed, the positions because you got one or two seats? What about the high levels of rigging and corruption that took place where you also were part and parcel of raising objections? Have you forgotten about that? So it's not about the ethics and the values anymore. It's about exactly what you're getting. So all in all, I think we're in for a rough ride. I agree that I don't believe it would stand the test of time. But what is important is to see today, I think the president is expected. There is a lot of speculation about who should be what, but I think announcements will be made. Is he in the position to be able to make those announcements in the first place? Because he only has 40%. So Bhutto again is going to have to speak to his big brothers, the Democratic Alliance. He's going to have to speak to his bigger bosses, which is all the capitals who have been funding him, and 9 out of 10 have already paid him to take the decision he has. If you look at the IEC itself and senior people in IEC, Janet Love and the other ladies, you can see the levels of corruption already against them, the concerns that have been raised. It talks about the credibility. So all in all, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens at the end of the day. Imagine today, it's almost a month later, and we don't have a government at the moment in Karachi. How difficult. Who is the president speaking to? Who is giving him instructions? Where is he getting his mandate and authority from? When did he negotiate this? When and how did he start? Because just before the election, we will never work with the DA. What about that population that supported them that they will never work with the DA? The anti-Zionist, with the issue on Palestine, you know, the issue on respecting everybody, all religious groupings in this country. So there are a whole lot of things. What about the liberation struggle? You know, the fights and the number of people that lost their lives. Have you considered all that in entering into bed with the Democratic Alliance and others? Or have you just forgotten how and where you got yourself where you are today?
It seems that there is already some divisions appearing, as it has been reported by the SABC just about 2 days ago, division among some of the parties forming the government of national unity have been laid bare, with the ANC describing the DA's expectations to be consulted about which parties join the coalition as a betrayal of the GNU principles. This follows DA Federal Chairperson Helen Ziller's remark that they had written to ANC Secretary General Fikile Mabolula about the Patriotic Alliance inclusion in the GNU without discussion or agreement among the partners. In an SABC interview, Ziller said the ANC could not bring in whatever people it felt like bringing in. It is not the ANC that gets to invite everybody, as Fikile seems to think. He keeps on making public statements about this one joining and that one joining, but he must read clause 24 of what he signed, she said. Ziller said no party could join the GNU without the DA's approval. The clause state, in keeping with the spirit of an inclusive GNU, it is agreed that the composition shall be discussed and agreed amongst the existing parties whenever new parties desire to be part of the GNU. So we can see there's already division here. And, you know, what are the issues, you know, based on your knowledge of how things operate there in Parliament, could bring about more division?
Well, let me start off by saying, you know, again, it goes back to what I said, whether you can read for meaning. And it looks like the ANC, with all the leadership and expertise that they have, can't read for meaning. And let us be honest, what is a government of national unity? You know, no one organization should take and must take unilateral decision. Now, remember, I led the negotiations which led to the former party of mine, the NFP, working with the ANC in 19 hung municipalities in KwaZulu-Natal, okay, in 2011. And I must be honest to you again, there too, the ANC misinterpreted what a you know, working together or a coalition government and things is, because they want to take unilateral decisions. And my understanding, if you get into a government of national unity, you sit down and discuss issues that affect everybody together. No one political party can just go out there and take decision. And in this case, I think the DA is correct in this case. The ANC, and they're referring to Clause 24, the ANC can't just go out there and go and decide who and what. And even in terms of, you know, the positions that's going to be allocated to ministers and deputy ministers, the cabinet itself, and policies in future, it means that you're going to have to engage each other and take decisions. If you interrogate that agreement even further, what does it say? It says that if they do not, and listen to this one, and this is a very dangerous part of it. If you do not reach consensus on anything, my former colleague, may Allah grant him the highest place in Jannah, Brother Shafat Ahmad Khan used to always say, the gremlins are getting the better of it. Somebody doesn't like what he's talking about.
Yes, definitely.
What he said in our interviews were interrupted. But, you know, I'm not sure what the listeners have actually asked me saying. Must agree with you. There's a lot of disunity at the moment. I think there's a problem in the interpretation of the agreement, and the ANC cannot expect to take unilateral decisions if you're in a government of national unity. In fact, even in a coalition government, you should be working together. You should be engaging together, reaching consensus on policies, on decisions and things. And like I said, you know, I've led the negotiations seriously with the where we co-governed 19 municipalities in KwaZulu-Natal. And there alone, I learned that the ANC does not understand getting into agreement. They still believe they're the big brother. They're in charge because of the majority that they have. And here, I think they're going to see the other side of that. So, yes, you're going to have a lot of differences. And, of course, you know, they are political parties that have massive differences. We must admit that. So I can't see on what issues they're actually going to agree. What is going to be interesting is who these portfolios are going to be allocated to. I cannot expect government to give the defense to anybody other than aligned to the ANC. That's suicidal. I cannot see them taking police and giving it to anybody else. I cannot see them taking finance and giving it to somebody else. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see on what. But if the ANC believe that they alone going to take the decisions as to who they're going to allocate portfolios to and things, I don't think it's going to work. I heard some rumors that the ANC is also talking about, you know, they may just pull out if that is the case. I'm not sure if they have many alternatives in any event. But I think what is important to note that we certainly have a very rough ride leading to whether we will have a successful government in place. I think that's the problem we find ourselves.
Now, regarding MK and EFF, they do not want to join this GNU. Do you think that, you know, that would be more advantageous for them?
It's not that they don't want to, really. The fact of the matter is this. The ANC, if it considered the MK and the EFF, they would have been in a position of strength, because to a very large extent, the ANC, the MK, the EFF, the COPE, all these parties are who? They are the ANC. They all have at some stage been part of the liberation. So we mustn't forget that. And I think the difficulty we're having is that the ANC, with its internal factional fighting that's going on, avoided that. I mean, you know, again, they make the statement, the people have spoken. Again, they make the statement that, you know, the people have given a mandate. But they're forgetting about the mandate the people gave the MK in KwaZulu-Natal. So I think the hatred and the division is so high, so deep between the ANC and the MK that it's going to come back to bite them. I'm telling you, for them to want to work with the DA and keep the MK and EFF out, knowing that there can be a very hostile environment in KwaZulu-Natal, taking into consideration what happened in 2021 and the fact that Zuma is well-funded, there's no doubt about it. He's well-liked by the people on the ground, there's no doubt about that. Taking all that into consideration, I believe that it will create more instability in this government of national unity. So I think the argument that the MK is putting and the PFF is that you refused to negotiate with us. You did not consider us. And now what? You want to come and give us the crumbs. And you want to dictate to us, as to, you know, where we fit in. And I think that's the difficulty. And people, egos here are more important than serving the interests of the people. That's the difficulty we have. So, yes, I think the ANC itself, and I think we must admit this, a large percentage of them, very large percentage of them, appear to be, in the ANC, appear to be against what is going on at the moment. So, yes, that's it. And they will play some role in creating more instability in the so-called government of national unity.
Jazakumullah khairul jaza for your input this morning, Brother Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam. Insha'Allah, we will talk again next Sunday. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.